I got to go away for like 6 weeks. So if we haven't met, and I know a number of you have come in that time, hi, my name's Tim. I've been here for part of this Good Life journey for almost 10 years now. And I don't think we've hardly begun to see the things that God wants to do. Not just through us, but I believe in this day through His people. That's not just Good Life. We are like a fragment of what God's doing. But still, as a part of Good Life, I'm going to give this fragment my 100%. And so as we come into this season of Thanksgiving, I want to start with this word that I hope will resonate with you throughout this whole term. The Bible says heaps about Thanksgiving. Tons of stuff. And we're gonna cover it, but one thing I want to say up front is Thanksgiving sets a tone in our lives. Thankfulness, gratitude sets a tone for all areas of our lives. I don't know if you've got to sit through a seminar. I know some of you have. There's a lady who's a part of Good Life and part of so many other things named Toni Powell. And Toni does a seminar called the Gratitude Seminar. And she does this seminar at corporate levels and for companies and organizations throughout this nation. And she's been invited into this arena in the world. But she talks about how gratitude, thankfulness affects every part of us. It affects us mentally, it affects us emotionally, it affects us physically, and it affects us spiritually. And this is why I believe it's so important that we get this. And I hear people say all sorts of things that, I don't have much to be thankful for. And I'm going to come to that. But biblical gratitude doesn't start with what I have to be grateful for. Biblical gratitude does not begin with what I have to be grateful for, but rather who I have to be grateful to. Let me say it again, because this is the theme that's going to start this out. This month we're going to talk about all different things each week. The power of Thanksgiving, and they're all P's because it makes it nice and simple for us to remember. I'm talking about those of us who are speaking. But it's like the power of Thanksgiving, praise in Thanksgiving, the practice of Thanksgiving, God's provision that can lead to Thanksgiving. But right now, I'm starting with gratitude, thankfulness begins with the person. Psalm 145, and I'm going to read the whole thing. I want you to listen to the psalmist's words. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you, and I will extol your name, or I will exalt your name, or I'll lift up your name forever and ever. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness, no one can get it in their head. No one can discern it. No one can work it out. No one can fathom it. But one generation will commend your works to another, and they will tell of your mighty acts. They'll speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. I'm going to meditate on your wonderful works. And when they tell of the power of your awesome works, I will proclaim those great deeds. And they celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. For the Lord is gracious and compassionate, and he's slow to anger, and he is rich in love. And the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you, and they tell of the glory of your kingdom, and they speak of your might, so that all people might know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. And the Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. And you get through all this, and the writer here just begins this, it feels like this runaway train where he's just going, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's always been you, it's your kingdom, it's your power, it's your character, it's your compassion, it's your kindness, it's always been you. And then he comes into this next two little verses and he says, the eyes of all who look to you and give them food at the proper time. And you open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. But then he goes right back into, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, faithful in all he does. He's near to all who call on him, to all who call in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry, saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. The wicked are going to be destroyed. But my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord, and let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And let me say this. Thanksgiving begins with the who, not the what. Thankfulness begins when we take a hold of and we recognize who he is, not just what I've got. And I hear people say that, you know what? I don't have much to be thankful for. My health's not so good. I don't have a great job. I don't have everything that I'd like to have. I don't have all the money I'd like to have. I don't have this. I don't have that. You know what? We got to get beyond the what and recognize, as the psalmists do so many times, God, you are marvelous. You are wonderful. You are good. You are true. And even if we struggle with things, the reality is there is someone that we can be thankful to. And he is this, the unchanging God. Declared throughout the Bible, the same yesterday, today, and forever, who knows our every need and has the perfect response. I got a question. Do we believe it? He's the unchanging God. His word declares it yesterday, today, and forever. The same. Faithful in all that he does. Knows us in every circumstance. Knows our every need. And has the perfect response. People might say, well, I didn't get what I asked for. I didn't get what I wanted. Do we believe that God actually might know better than we know? Maybe it's time that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we earnestly seek him, but we continue to say, God, I'm just thankful that you know exactly what I need and you know exactly the timing that I will need it. And therefore, I'm trusting you in this. Yesterday, I know some of you attended a funeral service for Kari Lee Birrell, and we had prayed and expected, she went through an amazing surgery, and then it didn't go the way that we prayed and expected it would, and Kari went to be with the Lord Wednesday last week. And it's in those times that it can really like go, what? Was God not in charge of that? Was God not more powerful than that? What happened? We begin to wrestle with these things. But you know what? I was so, so thrilled by it, that service. And if you were there, you would have heard it. Echo and echo and echo and everything that was said. That though we hurt, and though we don't understand, And though the outcome was different from that which we asked for or hoped for and prayed for, we know that you are God, and we know that you are good. And I love Peter Van Inkari's dad in the words that he wrote. He said, God, you know, when I see you, I'm going to have questions. But I trust you. And I trust that you're good. And there's not a moment, and when you hear Real speak, man, it's a mum. The same thing echoed out. And you know, we saw a man who was a part of our own family here as well, while I was away, who came through, you know, overcame great odds. And yet, all of a sudden, dies. And you're just like, what? We thought it'd turn the corner, and yet I saw Bill's wife, Sue, this week, and she said the same thing. Tim, I grieve. I'm sad. I miss him. But I am convinced that God is good. And he knows what I'm going through. And I know that Bill is in his presence. And I listened to those words and I was moved, even knowing that I was preparing this. We know that God is good, but we also have to come to rest in the reality that God's shaping us. And shaping is not always pleasant. What God may do in us for his name's sake and to conform us to his likeness, we may buck against it. It may grate against us. The pressure of it may feel overwhelming. But God is conforming us to the likeness of his Son. And God truly says in his word that he will work all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. God is going to work it for good, even though it may be a terrible circumstance to be in. When we surrender it to him and allow him to have his way in it, he says, I will do good. I will work those things together for good. And this is where thankfulness is like born, not just in the result, even in the process, when we know that God is faithful and that he is good. You know, a common lie, and I'm hearing it more and more, and when I was in the States, I met with some dear friends of mine, and a lot of them are struggling with stuff. But there's this lie that keeps coming up. And I'm going to just call it. It's a lie. Here's the lie. God just wants me to be happy. That's a lie. Okay, some of you are looking shocked at me right now. Your eyes are big. Like, did you just say that? Because my theology just went out the window if that's true. Good. Throw it out the window. God is not about you just being happy. I was in the States with a guy who's a good friend of mine, and his wife has just come to this point where it's like, yeah, I'm out. Doesn't matter that we've got children, doesn't matter that we have all these years of history, doesn't matter that we surrendered ourselves to God years ago into his purposes. I'm not happy. I'm out. And you know what? God's okay with it because I know God wants me to be happy. Bold stuff. It's a lie. But yet we somehow take this on board, and when we're in difficult things, we're like, oh, God must want me to change. He must want me to move out of this because I'm just not happy right now. He wants me to be happy. No, I think sometimes God is okay to leave you in your misery until you are in this place of reconciling yourself to him. Read the book of Job sometime. Read the book of Job, Because all of Job's friends come to him with the same lie and go, Job, you know what? If you were really in right relationship with God, everything would be good. So clearly something is amiss in your life because you're miserable. And Job's just going, man, I've done nothing. I'm righteous, I'm good. And then slowly you realize that it's actually this self-righteousness in Job that God's going, I'm going to have to strip it down, but buddy, this is going to hurt. It's going to take away practically everything that you have and everything that you are to your last scrap of dignity. But I will not let you go. And this is the thing where Job, in the end, he comes before God and there's this incredible psalm of gratitude that Job begins with where he says, man, I spoke when I never should have spoken. I said things I never should have said and I spoke in my ignorance. But God, you are the one who is faithful and you are the one who is good and therefore I will bring a sacrifice of praise to you. Do we think for a moment that Job was happy all the way through there? No way. And do not listen to this lie that God just wants you to be happy. He wants to conform you to the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's what He wants to do. And there are times in that of incredible joy that erupt as you begin to see that process, but there are times it just flat hurts. Thankfulness is not born in focusing on the what we have, but on the who that He is. And when we're anchored to the who, it does not matter what the circumstances are, doesn't matter what comes and what goes. We are anchored and secure in Him. Man, I hope we can get a hold of this. And the prayer in here that Ryan read before, it just says, thank you that you know me, but you also invite me to know your heart. Thankfulness is where we say, you know, thanks that you are gracious and you are merciful and you are slow to anger and you are abounding in love. Here's the reality. When we focus on the what, we tend to compare with others. When you're measuring your life by the what, by what you have, by what your successes are, by what your blessings are, by what your health ranks like, by where you live, by what your job is, by what your status is, all of that, we tend by nature to compare with others. But because of our self-centered base nature, we tend to compare upline. We look at those who have more. We look at those who have a better position. We look at those who seem to be happier, have more friends, all of the things that we love to measure ourselves by. But very, very rarely do we measure downline. That's just the reality. Very rarely do I hear people, when they're talking about their miserable state, start to go, man, you know what? My health's not great, but far out, I'm so glad I don't live in Sierra Leone right now or Liberia and be bleeding to death from the inside out and my organs dying because of Ebola. Oh, I don't hear that. We compare upline and we go, man, I wish I had the health that they have or that, man, do we stop and realize how blessed we are? Man, I wish I had a better job. Well, far out, how much better off are you than the person that doesn't have a job? Wish I lived in a bigger house. Come on the compassion trip this year. But when we come to this place that we focus on God's character, we actually don't have anything to compare Him to except who He has declared Himself to be. And you're simply faced with a choice. Do you believe it or do you trust it? Because there's nothing to measure Him against. Listen to these passages. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders that you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, there'd be too many to even begin to declare. Psalm 86, verses 8 and 10. Amongst the gods, there is none like you. Lord, no deeds can compare with yours. Listen, that's what God says. There's nothing to even compare me to. You're great. You do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Psalm 89, verse 8. Who is like you, Lord Almighty? You, Lord, you're mighty and your faithfulness surrounds you. And Isaiah 40, God speaks through his prophet and he offers this invitation. Listen to what he says in verse 25. To who will you compare me? God just comes out through his prophet Isaiah and he invites the people. He goes, okay, you want to rebel against me? You want to serve the gods of the nations? You want to put me in that same place? Who is it that you're comparing me to? Who do you want to measure me against? Is it these gods of stone and wood? Is it these gods of status? Is it these gods of that you think will be your provider, your shelter, your shield? You want to measure me against that? You get into the words of the prophets and he goes, man, are you kidding me? They got eyes, but they cannot see. Ears, but they cannot hear. Mouths, but they cannot speak. They got to be carried around for goodness sake. God invites it. Who is my equal, he says. Lift up your eyes. Look around you. Who do you really think created all of this? He who brings out the starry host one by one, calls forth each one by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one is missing. Why do you complain? And he says this to his people, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He's never going to grow tired. He's never going to grow weary. And his understanding, no one can fathom. Did you hear the last bit? His understanding, his mind, his reasons. None of us can fathom it. We can't get to the bottom of it. You can't reason it. Psalm 103 begins with these words of thanksgiving. I love it. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Oh, and forget not all his benefits. It's like the benefits are secondary. Do you hear that? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It's like he's crying to himself, all my inmost being, everything that I am, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, and don't forget his benefits. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. And this week's memory verse was here, and hopefully you've been thinking on it. Hopefully you've picked them up. If you haven't picked up your memory verses, they're all in the little plastic boxes at the back. But this one was Psalm 100, verse 4, but I'm going to read the whole psalm here. It's five verses. Starts with this, shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. So shout to the Lord, do it gladly, then begin to bring song. Verse 3, know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us. We are his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, if you know it, say it. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. Why? Verse 5, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever and his faithfulness continues through all generations. I'm going to break it down as we close. This is what I want the takeaway to be tonight. Number one, thankfulness is not born in the what, but the confidence in the who. Knowing that He works all things together for good. But let's break down this psalm here, Psalm 100, in these five verses. First thing it starts with, the writer says this, make a joyful shout to the Lord. What was the last thing that stirred a shout in you of just pure joy? Something in you just was like, yes. And you just go, yeah. What was it? Last thing.
That song Craig wrote where he's like, you never change.
I didn't hear you yell.
I yelled.
Did you? Good. You didn't yell loud enough. I'm going to ask you to repeat that yell later. What has moved you lately?
A football game.
It was the state of origin when New South Wales won. Yes!
Stand up barrel at Kira.
Stand up barrel at Kira. I believe you. I love, like... I don't know if you guys ever watch that. Like, one of my favorite things is to watch guys come out at Chopu and they're just like, yeah! And they're just looking at this wave, just like finish up, and it's like, and everyone else is just like, yeah. I believe that. I've never had that experience. Stand up barrel at Kira. What else? Sunrise on the Himalayas. Man, I want that one too. It's just like, come on, what? Man, I remember when my first child was born, when my daughter was born, and you know, I was privileged to be in the delivery room, and man, I'm so into this, and you know, and Holly's born, and I'm like, it's a girl! And the doctor just looks at me and he's like, that's what I'm supposed to say. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm just like, ah. And you can't help it. There was just this joy that just went, pff. Come on. What a pathetic life we must live. Nothing else.
Finishing work.
Finishing work. Yeah. Do you go into the parking lot? He's just like, yeah. Everyone's like, everyone's like, yeah, Esther just finished work. It's like, nothing else. Go ahead, shout it out.
Winning.
Winning what? Have you ever won something? He's just like, yeah, what? What? A cycling race? Sick. That's great. You come through that finish line like, ah. You know, there are things, and we should be moved to that, but it's like we have these arenas where it's okay. Like, you know, Barrel of Kira or Chopu, someone comes out and they're like, ah, and everyone else is like, ah. You know, New South Wales wins the state of origin, which is truly worthy of, you know, and it's like, it's okay. Everyone around's like, yeah, of course, except Queenslanders. And then, you know,
once every 9 years.
Yeah. But you realize there are these moments that are like, yeah. I had one recently. Some of you were at, you know, like, I love weddings. I really love weddings. I did a wedding, you know, not that long ago for Joey and Rach, and man, there was something, you know, all marriage is unique and special, but, you know, having journeyed with those guys, you know, I declare them husband and wife, and I just felt this, like, you know, rumbling. At first I thought it was gas, you know, it was like, it's kind of like this thing is just coming up, and I'm like, there's just one more thing I want to say. And it was like, yeah! And I mean, Rachel's face just went, what? You know, and I think people are like, what the heck? But I'm like, that, my goodness, those, there are things worth celebrating. And that was this moment that I just felt like it was so redemptive. There was such this beauty in that. But I'll move on. I came across this this video. And probably none of us in here, well, yes, one of us in here I know was around in this time period. When the end of hostilities were announced by Winston Churchill, at the end of World War II, V-Day is declared. And there's over 1.5 million people that gathered in London outside Buckingham Palace to hear this speech. And it might take you a moment. It's an old grainy movie. It's black and white. And Winston Churchill has that classic Winston Churchill accent that he has. But I want you to just listen to this.
Hostilities will end officially at 1 minute after midnight tonight, Tuesday, the 8th of May. But in the interest of saving lives, the ceasefire began yesterday to be sounded along all the fronts. The German war is therefore at an end. We may allow ourselves a brief period of rejoicing. Today is Victory in Europe Day.
There's this thing that happens. I love Winston Churchill. We may allow ourselves a brief period of celebration. I mean, he says that because knowing what's lying ahead of the rebuilding of London, but I can't imagine what it's like to be in a group of 1.5 million people and have declared the war is over. It's finished. And this, you just hear that, this roar just begin to yell. And then what do? They go into song. They start singing their identifier. They sing the national anthem. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Why? Because number one, the war is over. We were once enemies of God and we have been reconciled to Him. The battle is won. Sin is defeated. We are forgiven. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of the Most High God, co-inheritors of everything that He has purposed from the very beginning. We will be inheritors of a new heaven and a new earth that every tear and every fear and every misery and every lack and everything will be wiped away. There will be no more suffering. There'll be nothing but God's goodness forever. The war is over. Finished. That's us. That's the stuff that we should be just like, yeah. Like the barrel of Kira was like, yeah, okay. But this is like, yeah. This is the stuff that we should be grounded in. And then he goes on and he just says, and do it with gladness, do it gladly. Don't do it because someone's standing over you going, you better sing a song about God's goodness. Better take a moment of celebration. No, do it because it's in you and you're glad to declare it. He made us and He knows us. says that he's the shepherd, we are his sheep, and he cares for us. And here, the last verse of this says, come into his presence with thanksgiving. Why? I'm going to give you three things. This is them. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5 says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? For the Lord is good. Secondly, his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth will endure forever. And so as we close tonight, I want to anchor these three things just in our heart, in our soul. So stand up if you would. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Why? Because the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth will endure forever. I love that. There are people who are arguing about, you know, God and faithfulness and truth and everything else. I don't care about the argument. The war is over for me. The battle is done. It is finished. I am reconciled to God. My sin is forgiven, and I know that I can enter his gates with thanksgiving. I can enter his courts with praise, because I know what? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever. We're going to sing to close this, but I want to let out a shout. All right. I want our neighbors to wonder, what the heck? All right. Here's the truth. It's right here, Psalm 100, Psalm 145, Psalm 103, again and again and again. It's not about the what. If you get locked into the what, there are seasons that it's going to suck and life is not going to make sense. And you'll be lost in what you sense is lack. But if you anchor yourself to the who, it's unshakable. It's unchangeable. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Why? Because the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever. Yeah! Yeah! God, it's true! God, it's true! We praise your name. God, we exalt your name. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of all praise. Give thanks to the Lord our God, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord our God, for his love endures forever. Amen. Amen. Man, that is the truth that we gotta be so anchored to, that as we go through this month on thankfulness and we begin to look at, you know, his promise and his provision and all those things, it is born out of who he is. Thankfulness is always going to be found in the who. Whatever the circumstances we come up against. And so I pray that as you go tonight, as you go home, as you come into this week, I do pray that you would enter his gates with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise. Because you are so confident in who he is and who he's declared himself to be and who he always will be. So God, I pray
that we would go in a confidence assurance of this tonight, that whatever we experience, God, you are working in it for good, that God, you will declare yourself in it. And Lord, I pray then that you would bless us tonight and that you would keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us, warm us with the knowledge of your presence. Lord, would you be gracious to us? May we know your grace extended over us, your forgiveness abundant and available. God, would you lift up the light of your countenance upon us? God, impart your wise counsel to us that we might walk in your peace, both tonight and forevermore, to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. It's so good to be together. It really is.